a great pleasure to welcome to What's Next, Mzizi Khoza, who is the Managing Executive for ESG at APSA CIB. And certainly it's something that I'm very passionate about, and it's always good to see how APSA CIB and the APSA Group focus on those ESG targets and how important ESG targets are becoming for organizations, leading up to 2030. And we know what's happening around with the environment. We know that sustainability is key for so many businesses today. So it's really nice to welcome you to the show, Mzizi. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks, Aki, and yourself.
I'm very, very good, thank you. I mean, a job like yours, does sustainability bring a lot of pressure to yourself and to the bank? Because everyone is looking at those 2030 targets, and I know you guys are making tremendous strides in it. Is it one of those jobs that is pressurized? How do you see your job at looking at those ESG targets at APSA CIB?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is a very high pressured job and environment. Given the amount of strategic focus, that's on this topic, but it's also a job, Aki, which is very fulfilling. Because we're trying to do and make big changes and shifts in organizations, which are very difficult things to do, but it's pressurized, but also very rewarding at the same time.
No, absolutely. Now, APSA CIB recently launched its sustainability report. Why was it important for APSA to publish this information?
So thanks, Aki. It's not just CIB, as CIB is but one of the five divisions that we have as APSA Group. So it's really a representation of our sustainability journey and our strategic aspirations right across APSA, so the entire APSA organization. And look, as you've said there, Aki, sustainability is one of the defining challenges of our time. And as a result, you have got a number of our stakeholders who are very interested to understand, our strategic approach, our aspirations when it comes to ESG. And so these reports and these disclosures are an opportunity for us as a firm to communicate, to communicate with our stakeholders, be it shareholders, investors, our clients and our customers, our colleagues, to really communicate with them, how we are approaching these topics and what targets do we have in place and how are we tracking against the commitments that we have made. So that's why it's important for us to launch and to communicate our sustainability journey in this respect.
Mm. And I also guess it shows your customers that you are a responsible citizen of the global climate, right? Because there's no doubt about it that climate issues are a big challenge on a global level in 2024. I mean, it's not just 2024. This has been happening for the last, few years. We're seeing the various changes in weather conditions around the world, the weather phenomena that is causing tremendous damage. So, climate change is a real thing, and South Africa is no exception to it, right? How does APSA seek to balance, social inclusion, because that's a big issue in our country, with protecting the environment and, not just ensuring it's just a transition, right?
You're spot on. I mean, our approach to this question, Aki, is that, oftentimes how the debate is phrased when it comes to the transition is it's sometimes often posed as an either or kind of a choice. And how we see it as APSA is that this is more of a yes and. To your point, the imperative to transition is critical from an environmental sustainability perspective. However, at the same time, it also is triggering new opportunities and has got incredible potential to create jobs, to create new kinds of jobs, to really accelerate economic growth. So that's really kind of how we at a much more strategic level, you know, how we approach this question. I mean, we as a firm absolutely believe in the need for a just transition. So in other words, making sure that, you know, even as economies and South Africa transitions away from fossil fuels to much more cleaner sources of energies, that, you know, you leave no person and no place behind, that it is as inclusive as it can possibly be. And you'll see that in the position and the stances that we have taken across fossil fuels, for an example. You'll see that in our position in the position that we've adopted in respect of the role of gas, which you know, depending, I guess, on where you sit on the spectrum, you know, you could argue, you know, that we are, you know, we're not going far enough in terms of being green and inverted commas. But actually, we've taken that stance that gas is a transition fuel precisely for the reason that you've just articulated, which is about, you know, the need for the justice of this. And I think the other point as well, I think maybe to make, Aki, is you know, that our approach even to the targets that we have set, I mean, in this latest climate report that you mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, we've set a number of emissions reduction targets between now and 2030. And again, the scenarios that we have used are scenarios which, you know, seek to balance, you know, between socioeconomic development and potentially the negative consequences of a transition which is unorderly, as it were.
Yes.
So you'll see, I guess you know, I'm trying to paint the picture in the time that we have available of the nuances that are within this debate and the delicate balance that we've tried to strike as a firm. You know, paying regard, obviously, to our purpose, and also, you know, the fact that we have chosen as a firm that we want to be an active force for good in all of the communities in which we operate, and the fact that indeed, you know, we truly believe in a just transition, and that we will deploy our capital and our expertise towards making that a possibility.
You mentioned fossil fuels earlier, and you know, that's you know, obviously quite a controversial sector, because we know fossil fuels and the impact that has on the environment. But certainly at APSA CIB, you guys put your money where your mouth is when you talk about these reports. Could you please expand and talk about your approach to the fossil fuel sector, as well as the oil and gas sector?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, there are a couple of maybe contextual things to say, right? So at the COP28, which is the conference of the parties, which took place in December of last year, in which we had quite a very senior a delegation that went there. This was one of the major talking points, right, around fossil fuels. The what came to be known as the UAE consensus, you know, the final agreement, as it were, from the COP, that talked about the need, you know, to reduce fossil fuels and work towards a phase down of fossil fuels globally, all right? Because the science behind this is very clear, right? That for the world to get to a 1.5 degree outcome aligned to the Paris Agreement, or to get to an agreement which is, or to get to a temperature outcome which is aligned to Paris, that, you know, there needs to be a gradual phase down of fossil fuels in energy systems globally. So the science, I guess, is the point I'm making, Aki, is that the science behind this is very clear, right? In that there is this need for this gradual phase down. However, at the same time, as I've mentioned before, a disorderly phase down and transition can also have incredibly terrible consequences, especially in an African context where we're struggling with economic growth, high levels of inequality, high levels of unemployment, especially youth unemployment and the like. But with all that being said, we have taken a decision as a firm that we will reduce our financed emissions exposure in oil and gas and coal, which are kind of the three main fossil fuels, gradually between 2022 and 2030. And add that as we do that, you know, we've developed these initial targets, which are basically, you know, up to 2030, as I've said, you know, really to align our portfolio with our own net zero aspirations. But also B, we recognize that for many of the clients that we serve, and that we finance within those portfolios, they themselves are actually undergoing a transition. So they themselves are changing their own business models to become, you know, to respond to some of these issues, but also to take advantage of the opportunities that arise as a consequence of a decarbonizing world. And so that's really kind of the approach that we've taken. I mean, we can speak to the details, obviously, if you're interested. We've decided to reduce our net, you know, financed emissions to coal by 25% between now and 2030, and our emissions intensity in the oil and gas sector, so in the oil and gas book, by 9% between 2022 and 2030. Again, this is aligned to kind of global scenarios that talk about, you know, announced pledges, because one of the things that we don't want to be, Aki, is to go out of step and out of kilter with the communities in which we operate, right? The countries and their own plans for how they wish to decarbonize, because we see our role very much as being in lockstep with the various countries, the governments, and the peoples of those countries, you know, as they then undergo their own journey. So it was an important choice that we've exercised here around this. And actually, there isn't any one, you know, right or wrong answer when it comes to this. You know, when we did this exercise, you know, we did an incredible amount of work to understand, you know, what's happening globally, what does it mean, the approach of other banks, in order to try and arrive at an answer, which ultimately we believe, you know, is the right answer for us as a firm, as well as our own stakeholders as well.
That makes perfect sense. Now, you know, renewable energy is something that we're embracing quite aggressively in South Africa. And it's really become a big trend in South Africa. I mean, corporates putting up solar, we're looking at all of those renewable energy alternatives. Could you talk about how APSA has joined this trend from a financing perspective? Because I know you're very active in that, financing both commercial and domestic installations of alternative renewable energy.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely spot on. So, you know, we actually were one of the first banks to stipulate a, you know, what I like to call a specific time bound financing target, right? All the way back in almost at the height of COVID in 2020. And we said that we wanted to mobilize 100 billion rands worth of sustainable financing by December of 2025. You know, Aki, we are now more than 80% of the way there, and we've still got, you know, more, a little over 18 months still to go. So we're tracking well ahead of where we had initially wanted to be. And if I look at the current renewable energy book, right? So these are the assets that we are holding on balance sheet, right? Those are, you know, which are obviously less than, you know, what we've arranged in the marketplace, right? But if I just look at, you know, that smaller portion of just what's on balance sheet today, so our current exposure, it is almost three quarters higher than our total exposure in fossil fuels. Right? So our current exposure in renewable energy is 75% greater than our exposure into fossil fuels. So it gives you a sense of the scale of the opportunity, but also, you know, our capability and our skill and our appetite are sort of in this arena. To your point, I mean, we've been an active supporter. So if I just think about, you know, the government IPP program, you know, we've been an active supporter of that right from rounds one all the way up to rounds five. And in fact, we've got the highest market share of the financing of those projects. We've supported 43 projects across those to a total value of 120 billion rand. And all of those have delivered in excess of 4,000 megawatts of green energy power into the South African grid. So we are very, very bullish about this sector. We believe it's a sector which can only grow over time. And that's obviously not even, you know, counting, you know, what we've been able to achieve in, you know, for large industrial kind of users, you know, the big mines, the big sort of, you know, manufacturers, and even the big retailers, you know, who are quite large, you know, buyers of sort of green of green energy. So Aki, we think, you know, we're one of the largest financiers of renewable energy across the continent, and this is something that we're incredibly proud of as a firm, and something which is absolutely, we believe, necessary for, you know, for the continent to be able to achieve, you know, its decarbonization ambitions, and also to take advantage of the natural endowments, you know, that the continent has, you know, whether it's wind or sun or hydropower, etc. You know, and we're very bullish around that.
Let's talk about those, and it's an interesting concept, right? You guys talk a lot about debt for nature swaps, and I heard that concept, and I mean, I kind of know because I put two and two together what it means, but what is a debt for nature swap? Can you give us that definition, please?
Sure. So I mean, it sounds sometimes a little bit more complicated than it is, to be honest. But basically, what you have is it's a financial instrument where, you know, essentially. That's been used, by the way, you know, elsewhere on the continent, but also globally as well, where, you know, a borrower or an issuer would issue an instrument to raise capital in the capital markets, and then is basically then granted some kind of relief. So the yield or the interest that is paid would then be slightly lower, on the back of an agreement that would exist between the investor, i.e. the person who's buying the debt, right, and the issuer, that, you know, a portion of the savings would then be applied to environmental environmental projects, right? And those could be a wide range, you know. I mean, Gabon recently issued an instrument like this, so at a sovereign level. So this is now a government that has done it, where a portion of the interest saving, you know, was then applied to what they would call kind of a blue initiative, so i.e., you know, protection of biodiversity species, but increasing biodiversity in their locales. And preserving freshwater bodies, etc. So that's really, in a nutshell, Aki, kind of what this thing.
These debt for nature swaps, they present a great opportunity for South African SOEs, right, to recover from their economic challenges. So there is a benefit for us as South Africans.
No, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, in the you know, we had the budget speech from the Minister of Finance earlier on in the year, and one of the things that perhaps, you know, was maybe lost in the announcements that came out is the fact that, you know, is the fact that nearly a fifth. So more than 20 cents of every rand that is collected, the interest bill in the country. Right? So every 1 rand, 20 cents goes towards servicing debt, right? Which obviously is an unsustainable kind of situation long term. And we think that, you know, part of what has resulted in those elevated debt levels has obviously been the SOE bailouts of the past. And that, you know, those have acted very much as a fiscal drag, and that there is an opportunity then to look at some of these kinds of instruments to try and see if we cannot, you know, kind of lower SOE debt burdens themselves using some of these instruments like debt for nature swaps. You can imagine, you know, that, you know, if you were, for an example, able to enter into that kind of a transaction with, let's say, an Eskom or a Transnet, you know, who are certainly in my mind some of the more obvious candidates, you know, for something like this, because then, you know, you almost get a double benefit. Yeah, you lower their own interest burdens, and then in addition to that, you then, you know, are able to then use some of those savings to then be able to deploy that capital to kind of environmental projects, which in and of themselves, you know, can have potential multiplier effects, depending, of course, on the nature of the projects, and several other variables.
Okay, I mean that's interesting, and I mean I love what APSA's doing around this, because you guys are very active in the space. The fact that you're publishing the reports shows that APSA is a very responsible global citizen. Now, talking about this process that you've just spoken about, the debt for nature, et cetera, in our conversation, how can APSA help with this particular process? How does someone engage with APSA, and how can you guys help in the process?
Sure. Sure. No, I mean, I think we can help in a number of different ways. So obviously, we support, as I'm sure you can well imagine, as are some of our other competitors, some of these SOEs, certainly at least the large ones, as well as, of course, you know, we've got a large debt capital markets business, which works with issuers of all kinds, including SOEs themselves. And of course, then kind of the investors, right? The people who actually buy the companies and the organizations and the investors who buy the debt, whether they be pension funds or asset managers and the like. And so we obviously kind of sit, I guess one could argue, kind of in the middle. And so we can bring all of those insights to bear, you know, in assisting potential issuers who are looking at these kinds of instruments. But I think, Aki, you know, maybe to go back, you know, right to where we started our conversation this morning, the transition is going to require capital and specialized support. And yes, we believe as a firm that we possess the necessary skills and the networks, what I've just alluded to now, as well as the capital, of course, to connect the ideas with the insights and the capital in order for us, you know, in order for the continent to achieve its aspirations when it comes to all of these topics.
Fantastic. Listen, well done for your incredible efforts you're making as a group at APSA. I think that we this is not about us today. It's protecting the future of our children. It's protecting the future of our continent, and we've got to be responsible about it. Mzizi Khoza is the Managing Executive for ESG at APSA CIB. Outlining what APSA as an organization is doing, and APSA is massive, and a corporate citizen outlining the future of our country and what they're doing for these processes and those ESG targets and how important they are. Mzizi, thank you so much for your time and for really sharing your thoughts and telling us what APSA is doing in regard to the environment and sustainability.
Thank you so very much, Aki. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you this morning.